The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Y'all heard, take it from the top.
One, two.
My mic sound nice, check one.
My mic sound nice, check two.
My mic sound nice, check three. Are you ready to rock, y'all?
Everyone, welcome back. Of course, it is the Gridiron Gals podcast. I am the NFL chick.
And this is Chelsea, a.k.a. Chelsea's Right.
And we are sorry that we was absent last week. It just was a rough week around here. You know, one of us, my team wasn't in it because we ain't shit, but Chels was going through it, and I didn't want to put her through that. So
yeah, I had a rough week.
She had a rough week, so we had to take the week off. So we're back now, of course. We've moved on since then. A lot has happened since then. But before we get into the playoffs, let's kind of go into some off-the-field stuff, and then we'll go into the games. By the way, we have special guest, Black Dante, from the Collards and...
Crown and Collards.
I always want to call it Collards and Crowns, and I knew that I was wrong, so that's why I slowed down. I apologize. It is the Crowns and Collards podcast. If you have not listened, please do after you listen to our show. It is fucking hilarious. So let's get into the topic.
They are
a hoot, is what some people would like to say, a hoot. So Johnny Manziel, His said he is rehabilitating. He showed up in New England with a Tom Brady jersey, went to the game, and then he went on Twitter and started like tweeting all of these things about, you know, how he's moving on and he's getting a second chance and blah blah blah. And then he made this tweet to Donald Trump, basically telling him to stop being a fuck nigga and be presidential and make America great again. And then he just went on and deleted his account. So, what do you make of that whole thing? I'll find the exact tweet while you talk.
Okay, because it was a little bit. So basically, what he said is, you know, he was like, "Hey, at real Donald Trump, even I know not to look at the mentions on Twitter. You have to be presidential and let the haters hate," or something like that. Basically, like
that, yeah.
Giving Donald Trump like some kind of pep talk or something like that. So, you know, from one woman abuser to another, I guess that was some sort of pep talk. You know, fuck Johnny Manziel. Let's get that out of the way.
First and foremost.
Fuck Johnny Manziel. How can you support somebody like him after you done sucked the venom all out of black culture? Now that you're done with it, now you're going to support this dude right here. Like, I can't even. And I'm so glad he deleted his Twitter, because you need to delete your Twitter and work on your life. Because the first thing that you said, see, Johnny Manziel is he said that he had rehabilitated himself. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? Doesn't that sound like something a junkie says?
Yeah, well, he was a junkie. I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah, you rehabilitated yourself. I got myself clean. I went to my own drug rehab in my house. Boy, if you don't get out of my face somewhere, I'm so glad that we didn't draft him. I don't know what to do. Delete your Twitter.
I am not surprised. And you make a very good point about the culture in which he had adopted going from the college to the pro level. He was with OVO, with Drake, and hanging out mm-hmm. with all these basketball players. And, well, we have to remember that Johnny Manziel was always a spoiled rich white boy who came from some old money, I believe, in Texas. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't shock me one bit that he was pep-talking Donald Trump. I mean, I don't like the stereotype, but, I mean, based on his background, I don't think it's off to assume his family are probably Trump supporters.
They're probably very, very invested in everything that's going on there. Well, rich people, oil, he comes from oil money, and the government exactly. regulations on oil money and all of that kind of stuff, yo, they try to vote. They probably, you do check to see how many times they voted for him.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not surprised. This is normal for us. People act like that they love us and they accept us, and then, you know, they, you know, choose a side. Now are we making a little bit too much of it from a tweet? Maybe, but I'm not giving Johnny Manziel any passes. He's ran out of those a long time ago. He's still a fuck boy. He still was tweeting to another fuck boy, and mm-hmm. y'all's president. And you know, I'm just not giving him that kind of pass. Rehabilitate yourself off Twitter. Get your life together. Figure out what the hell you're going to do during the next phase of your life, because I think your football career is over. And move on, because we don't care anymore.
We don't care anymore. And, you know, and I hate to, just to clear up why I immediately said, you know, he sucked the venom out of black culture and did everything he can, you know, hanging out with all these rappers and these Texas rappers and stuff like that, because we all know, and you can sugarcoat it any way you want to. A vote for Donald Trump, in my opinion, is anti-black, period.
Yeah.
Black, everything that we fought for is anti that. So you can eat a dick, Johnny Manziel. I hope you're listening.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, little boy. We've moved on past the point of view. We just brought you up because, you know, you needed some airtime and we gave you your 5 minutes. Moving on. Antonio Brown, we know that he has we weren't on last week, but obviously he had a post-game locker room speech in which he was caught. He had caught head coach Mike Tomlin saying some things that really weren't. It wasn't anything out of, you know, character. It wasn't anything that was bulletin board material. That's how all coaches talk. But, you know, it's not something that is accessible to us, the viewers, normally. And when he was asked to turn it off, he kept it on for like 10 extra minutes. And so now you're starting to see, they were saying this week that he was being a sore loser. He wanted the ball on a touchdown drive in the AFC Championship game. And that, you know, he's slouching and pouting and all of these things. And so, first of all, do you consider what he did last week to be an invasion of privacy? And then secondly, do you think that what is being perceived of him now is that he's, you know, kind of getting big-headed? Do you see that of him based on the evidence or lack thereof that they've shown us?
I just think AB is a clown, basically.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. I feel like this deep analysis of him is like a waste of time. He's a clown. His haircut is stupid. His dances and stuff like that. Yo, when they put the Jordan crying face on his butt doing the twerk,
took me out the game.
So like, he's a clown to me. Like, I think that he was being a clown. I don't think that he took a second to think about what he was doing. You know, to me, I feel like as soon as this is the problem with it being Facebook Live, it eliminates your ability to think for a second before you post because it's live.
Mm-hmm.
And that he maybe had recorded and then he was going to post it later. Then maybe he just said, "Ooh, I heard coach say this. Let me just, you know, blah, blah, blah." No, that joint was live. So like I say, he's a clown. You know, they talk about him padding stats and all of that stuff. He's a clown right now. He just has to grow up. And his haircut is stupid.
His haircut is stupid. It's always been stupid. I mean, you're right in that regard. I just kind of look at him and I'm like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it is putting them in situations that I don't really think should be accessible to us. I think that there are certain things that should be sacred. And I think that an NFL locker room, for the most part, should be. Now, of course, we've seen post-game videos done after big games, but those guys know that those cameras are in there, so they know how to censor themselves to not say anything to give anybody any bait for the next week.
Right.
So he didn't give him that respect, and that's the problem that I have. As far as the touchdown thing, I didn't see any evidence of it. Pat McAfee, who seems to be on a tear against the NFL Network for some odd reason, posted a picture yesterday of Antonio Brown with his hands up signaling touchdown, saying, you know, that was allegedly the play, that he was pouting, but he looks like he was being a supportive teammate. And I'd have to agree, unless you hear Antonio Brown speak and say that he has an issue with it, I don't see why this is a conversation. I just think that now we're just in a point where we got these flamboyant wide receivers and we want to make them problematic. And I don't get where that's going. You know, yeah, AB is one of the top players in the league. Is he underpaid? Yeah. But I mean, is he creating these problems or are we creating these problems? We meaning the viewers and the media. And that's the part that I don't get. I do still think he's a clown. I agree with you 110%. I just don't know if these are real stories or if it's we're bored and we need to make up a story because, you know, the Super Bowl is in 2 weeks.
Right. I mean, and that's basically what it is. You run out of things to talk about because, you know, every week the number of teams that are competing goes down. You don't have the Cowboys to talk about because you love to talk about the Cowboys because that gives you multiple things to talk about. Football and Tony Romo. So now you're just making up stuff. Like, I really didn't think it was that big of a deal, but it does make me think, like, they need some rules in the locker room. Like, they need to – I thought that you couldn't tweet or post on social media for, like, 90 minutes – after a game or something like that.
I think that used to be a rule, but I'm assuming that it was tweet, but maybe not video, which, I mean, maybe they found a loophole, so.
I mean, he posted it on Facebook. That would be social media.
I mean, it is, but maybe the term
that
was tweet.
But that might be a good idea to really, like, enforce that, like, no social media for, like, in the first hour after a game, you're getting back to the locker room, you can get ready for your post-locker room stuff. And all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, don't see, like, you need to be paying attention. He should have been paying attention. He's smiling. I saw all 32 of his teeth in that video. Like, turn around and pay attention.
Well, he's too busy.
You need to.
He's so busy going live. Talking about, we live. But then his ass got, let me show you his stats. He had 77 yards. That's the part I do remember. He had 7 receptions for 77 yards, 0 touchdowns. I mean, yes, I get that his quarterback didn't play well, but I'm just saying, you're so busy being live, and then the next week you was a no-show. Shut your ass up.
Right, you didn't show up. So, you're reminding me of Stephen A. Smith just now when he used to say, we. He going live.
That's what Antonio Brown did, is I'm live. We in the locker room. I'm live.
That is hilarious. That's hilarious.
You and that dumbass haircut. Yeah, sit your ass down, man. I'm glad y'all at the damn playoffs anyway. All right, so speaking of the games, right, let's get to the first game. Our time was basically wasted for the most part. The NFL gave us 2 shitty-ass conference games, both blowouts, even if maybe the score for the New England game doesn't feel as bad. It was bad. And obviously the first game with the Falcons, we'll talk about that with Black Dante a little bit later in terms of how that went. But the Steelers-Patriots game, I was mad, number one, at my fucking Ravens, because if we're the only motherfuckers that can go to Foxborough and give them a fight, they should have just lost the division. They should have just won on Christmas and won the damn division to save everybody some damn time, because I was bored. By halftime, I was like, I think I'm going to go to sleep. But I was too busy roasting Steelers fans on Twitter and enjoying it than, you know, watching the game. So, I mean, is this where we are now with the NFL? Like, is the NFL so bad? I feel like the only game that was good this whole playoffs was your Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. Outside of that, I could erase every other playoff game I've watched thus far.
Yeah, and that was a good game, even though it did not end up how I wanted it to, and I felt like I wanted to die after that game, especially seeing how Green Bay played the last week. I guess they gave everything they had against the Cowboys, exactly. And they just laid the hell down. I mean, I was surprised when how far that game got away. But, yeah, the games were trash, so I can't really explain it. I usually can depend on playoff football to entertain me, and it was a waste of my time. That was a waste of my time. I waited all day long for that bullshit. That was a waste of my time. I can't believe Green Bay wasted my time like that.
Green Bay wasted my time. The Steelers wasted my time. I really just felt like I wasted a Sunday. And it's been a while since I've felt that way. Like, the first weekend of the playoffs, we had Saturday and Sunday football. And then, you know, obviously we had it last week for the divisionals. But at least I didn't feel like my whole weekend was wasted with the Green Bay Dallas game. I felt like that salvaged all the other games. And then I thought that it was going to be a good game because obviously both offenses are high powered. And then Green Bay, yes, we know that they were sick and they had all these obstacles, but god damn, y'all just not gonna show the fuck up at all?
Right.
Like, just fuck it. We have ran out of gas. We tired. Then you should have just let Dallas win.
Right, like, y'all ain't gonna do nothing. Y'all, I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. Like, they were shunning, they made Aaron Rodgers look like a sucker. They made him look like Brock Osweiler out that joint. I was like, what the hell is happening? Aaron probably was tired because he'd been carrying the team on his back.
Exactly.
He was tired. The damn defense wasn't doing shit out there. You know, I would have made Don Capers walk the fuck back to Green Bay. Oh, man, you got to walk. You couldn't mix anything up?
Nope.
You can't. anything up?
Nope.
Y'all can't get one stop? I mean, it was the point where Atlanta didn't even need to run the ball.
Yep.
They was just air attack. And look, I enjoyed my Julio Jones out there. I enjoyed every stunt Julio.
You got one good foot and one bad foot. You stunting with nine
after the
goals.
Season, you know what I'm going to say. You know what's going to happen after the season.
What?
Julio's going to go through the NFL chick process of growing a new foot.
You get on my damn nerves. You really get on my nerves.
Julio! Brand new foot for this season.
I cannot stand you in this damn foot situation. He better grow a damn foot, even though he doesn't look like he's fazed by any means, but he need to grow a foot. But on the other side, the Steelers side, they got their ass whipped so bad that Ben Roethlisberger is talking about thinking about contemplating retirement. So is he being legit, or is Ben being Ben Kardashian right now, just super extra for no reason?
He's being a full-fledged Kardashian right now. He may even be the in-law Kardashians, like Black China Angela Kardashian or whatever. Like, that's how Ben, get out of my face. You ain't going nowhere. You just salty about what happened. And see, what's happening is he wants to talk about retirement because now he wants the accolades. He wants people to rub him on the shoulder and massage his back and say, mm-hmm. Ben, no, you're a great quarterback. This is what we can do. You have so many years left. He wants to be caressed. Then retire. Retire if you want to go. You mean tell me that you fought through these injuries, you fought through knee surgery during the season, you fought through all of that to get to the AFC Championship, and you lost, and now you want to retire? Get out of my face.
I completely agree.
Thinking about Big Ben.
Nobody's thinking about Big Ben. He's just being a diva because that's what he does best. He knows how to just put himself in a headline, and maybe he has contemplated it, right? I mean, he's been in the league since 2004. He's dealt with tremendous injuries, fine. But you know what? Just let us know when you there. Like, don't tell us, yeah, I'm going to contemplate it in the offseason. I bet my whole damn salary his ass be on that field come September. So get out of my face.
I'm not going through Ben Roethlisberger gate like we did Brett Favre gate.
Wait, is his penis on display or something?
Oh, shit. I'm talking about when Brett Favre kept retiring. I am not talking about his pee-pee.
Well, the difference between that is that they had the future on the bench in Aaron Rodgers, and Landry Jones is absolutely not the future for the Steelers. So if he wanted to come back, he can come back.
Yes, he can come back.
Anytime. Nobody is thinking about – they don't even have a replacement on file as of yet. And if that would be the case, they would have to do that in this draft. And I don't know who would be available that would be good enough that could start right away for the Steelers if they decided to retire. So it would probably have to be Landry Jones, which would make me feel good inside. But, I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't make Steelers fans happy. So – I'm just over the whole, like, oh, Ben, is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? They're trying to say that he's kind of tired of AB. Don't nobody want to hear none of that shit. Y'all just full of shit. Quit it. We are tired of you always making us read or listen to some Ben Roethlisberger story. We're tired of the drama queen. So joining us today, we have a good friend of the show. He has his own podcast on CSPN, The Crown and College Podcast. They some goddamn fools over there. Yeah. And he is one of the biggest Falcons fans that I probably know. He has heard us shit on Matty Ice plenty of times before, but obviously we have not been able to do that in a while only because Matty Ice is playing well.
Yes.
Our friend, Mr. Black Dante, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Because, see, I've been ever since I got home from work, I've been ready. I told Chills, I can't wait. Ever since I got home, I've been in the bed drinking sweet tea and listening to Luther Vandross. So I'm ready. Let's talk about it.
So, all right. You have to take us into how you felt around 6 o'clock on Sunday. Like, obviously, the game clearly was out of control. The Falcons were going to win. Like, at what point of the game did you feel it? Like, did you know, like, this was real and that y'all was getting ready to go to the Super Bowl?
As Chills makes fun of me all the time, being the life of a Falcons fan, for me has always been that damn cartoon where the dog is, the house is burning and the dog is like, this is fine.
Yeah.
That's literally me. Like, yeah. Chels makes fun of me all the time because I tweet that at least this season. I tweet that at least like 3 times a game, at least. But I'm not going to lie. Any Falcons fan that'll tell you that they saw this coming into the season, they got the faith that President Obama has in white people because listen. I love the Falcons, but let's be real. We were coming into the season. I knew we would be able to score points, but we to quote a good friend of mine and a good friend of the show, Gina Thomas. She's a Falcons fan. She's a sports writer for Sports Nation. We were coming into this season with what we would call not a good defense. So I ain't think we were gonna be able to stop anybody.
Oh, that's what you call it.
Apparently, it is not. We ain't got no damn defense. Edit that out, classic. But like, I'm not gonna lie. I felt confident. Like at halftime, I was like, this ain't gonna be no repeat. Like shout out to the damn announcers for being Fox, for being shady as fuck, for bringing up when the 49ers came back on us a few years ago.
Yes.
They
were up. You guys were up, 17-0 at that point, right?
Yeah, 17-0.
Okay.
It was 17-0, and then they came back. Here's the thing with that, though. I was confident.
Was that comeback Kaepernick?
Yeah, that was comeback cap. That and they had a hellacious defense, which was the point where I'm not even going to lie. I was drunk. I was wine drunk. I was talking shit at halftime because I'm like, ain't no fucking way. And I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss on y'all show. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Do what you do. We curse. So you just do what you do. Live your life.
Because me, you, Chels, Dan, Classic, and Mel could go out there and play better defense for the Packers than what they had last Sunday. So I'm like, nah, ain't no way. I was always cautious because this is Aaron Rodgers. And, again, we do not have what you would call a good defense or okay defense or defense at all. But even though I'm proud of them, but let's be real, I still was confident. I'm like, they do not look like the same old Falcons. They do not look like the Falcons of old that would disappoint me and cause me to go into a cardiac arrest. Like, they don't look the same. And considering that Green Bay has no defense to stop us and that we shut out Aaron Rodgers for a good 36 minutes of the game, Aaron Rodgers had 0 points for 36 minutes of the NFC Championship game. I was wine drunk. I was feeling confident. I was feeling good. And I was so damn proud of them boys.
And you talked a whole lot of shit when it was over. A whole lot of shit because I saw it.
He sure did. I was like, do your thing.
Go off. I was like, go off.
you know, if I could chat with you lovely ladies for a bit, you know, because I was there for Doggate. I was there for 2 points. I remember the Super Bowl against the Broncos and Jamal Anderson and Chris Chandler. I remember that. I remember Joey fucking Harrington. I remember that. I remember
Joey Harrington. Good lord.
I remember Paterno? Whatever.
Paterno. Yeah, we don't fuck with him on this podcast. Right,
I remember him leaving mid season.
It was four games left. He left y'all with four games left.
He left that last, like when you break your lease, but you don't have the money to pay the rest of that damn balance. That's how he left. And I remember that. I was there, crying the tears of Carl Thomas. And niggas had, fuck it. People had jokes. I've been shrugging off jokes for a long, long, long time. And Sunday, I talk all my shit. I'm still talking shit. I went into work smiling because one of my coworkers at work is a Saints and Cowboys fan. How the hell that happens, I do not know. But I was talking a whole hell of a lot of shit. Nigga, Muzz was mighty quiet. My mission was mighty quiet. I ain't hear no 2 point jokes. You know why? We put up 44 of them things to go to the Super Bowl.
I got to go back here. You had a coworker that was a Saints and a Cowboys fan?
Listen.
Rita. I was trying to ignore that shit, Rita.
Right, I saw Chels go mute.
I went mute to save a life.
Look, listen.
Is he a terrorist?
No, it's a she, and probably she might be linked to ISIS.
Oh, it's a she. That makes it even
definitely 100% a Trump supporter. Definitely a Trump supporter. Donald Trump. She one of those ones that the pollster said, "Are you voting for Hillary Clinton?" And she said, "Uh-huh."
Right.
Right. She. I'm pretty sure she has ties to Russia. Pretty sure she was in the Russian hack. Pretty sure. Like 99.99999% sure. But I've been talking a whole hell of a lot of shit.
As you absolutely should.
You gotta be careful because she goes when you come to work 5 minutes late, she gonna be already in HR telling on you.
If not already.
Mm-hmm. Charles has come up with the perfect analogy for this Super Bowl. I feel like she came up with it. I'm not saying it. Charles got to tell you how she views the Super Bowl.
Well, this ain't gonna end well.
So this is gonna put a lot of pressure on you, okay? Mm-hmm. This Super Bowl is John Lewis versus Donald Trump.
Yes. A lot of people.
The fate of the galaxy is on the line.
Yeah, a lot of people have.
Can y'all handle that type of pressure?
Listen. I'm still not 100% entirely sure that Aaron Rodgers is human. I do believe he was probably built in a lab on Cybertron with LeBron James. but we stopped him. I'm all in. Like I said, I tweeted it at the moment the game clock hit 0-0. Not only are we going to the motherfucking Super Bowl, we winning it. I'm all in. I don't
care. Okay.
We are winning it. Look. I said it that night. I said it again. Look, if I'm wrong, I'll take these jokes. But as of right now, this right here, Nick, I'm saying we winning the motherfucking Super Bowl. And we are going to take down the Trumpiots, if I can make up a word.
The death star.
Yes, we are going to take down the evil empire. You heard it right here on the Gridiron Gals podcast, co-signed by Jeremy, a.k.a. Black Dante, a.k.a. Confucius of the Crown of College podcast. Yes, I said it. We are going to win the mother.
Well, y'all are the favorites.
I don't think so. Not yet.
From what I heard, they were the favorites. But, hey, anything can change.
I think it's like they're 4-point underdogs, I believe. I'll look it up right now while we're...
Yeah, look that up. Because I thought Atlanta was a favorite.
I haven't seen any... I haven't had time due to work. I haven't had time to, like, listen to any, like, sports shows or, you know, the radio, because I don't listen to the radio. Like, I haven't had time to listen, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're the underdog. Cause, I mean, it's the Patriots.
It's not going to be by a lot. It shouldn't. If so, it shouldn't be by a lot because you guys can score. So,
yeah. Right. But I think the difference between Aaron Rodgers, I mean, Aaron is awesome, but the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady is Aaron Rodgers, his scrambling outside the pocket is the way he beats you. Tom Brady beats you by standing straight up and tall in the pocket, and because he keeps a clean pocket and you can't get to him. So if y'all don't get to him with people that you've never heard of.
Right. This motherfucker be pulling cats off the street that just got that just came from the unemployment office and making them
He don't care.
Yeah, as of right now, New England is 3-point favorites.
3-point favorite. Okay. That has changed because when I listened on Monday to I listened to Shine on Sports on Monday. Atlanta was a favorite. So maybe that has changed.
That's interesting because New England came out favorites. Like,
and it was I was surprised too. And I was like, Atlanta favorite? Okay.
It probably was flip flop. Probably because, I mean, we only like what, four days removed from Sunday. Yeah. So probably change up until leading to the Super Bowl. But like, I'm confident. Like, our line, again, we do not have what you would call a good defense at all. But I feel that New England, I honestly don't believe their defense is that much better, if we're being honest. Because, I mean, let's go on the list of people that they, the quarterbacks they went through. I don't even know who the fuck plays. They went Houston. They went Brock Osweiler, who... all three of us could probably throw for more yards than Brock Osweiler. Mm-hmm. And they went through Ben Roethlisberger, who I don't know what happened to that amazing offense, but I think that was more of the Steelers offense just being drunk than New England actually to have defense being like the old Patriots defense. So we just need to get pressure on Brady, and I think Vic Beasley Beasley's had a breakout season. Like there was people saying that he was a bust, and he was proving them right up until this season where he I don't know what the hell got into him. He might have had the super water that Michael Jordan had in Space Jam for the whole season. But we had we got a lot of guys. Like the one thing I do like about our defense, is that they've bought into Dan Quinn, and like we have speed. Now I'm not saying again we do not have a good defense. I keep stressing this, but I like that we have guys that can just plug in and be like, "Hey, go hit somebody," you know, right. Like, and they believe in Dan Quinn, and he's earned it. Like I know some Falcons fans, the first year Dan Quinn got here, and they was ready to ship him out after last year, but then our defense is young. Like that's the one thing. Like I've never been as optimistic about this team as I've been now, because all Matt Ryan really needed was a stable offensive line, a defense that it don't even have to be great, but can at least get a few stops and balance, like not forcing it to Ryder White, who I know Ryder is Falcons fans' favorite. I know, but I don't really like that guy.
Oh, man.
Nah.
I mean, he's salty right now, boy.
I mean, hell.
All the games he played.
He'll be all right.
He'll be all right. If he wasn't being a prima donna about Julio getting all the touches, he might still be on the team, but that ain't none of my business. But anyway.
Now, I did see, like, let me tell you, though. Now, New England is number one in scoring defense. That's kind of important. So, you do need to know they're pretty good.
That is.
However, that being said, I agree with you that if you look at who they've played throughout the season,
right.
And I can't remember. I was listening to, I believe it was Lebatar's show. They kind of went through the list. And I think it was, like, Russell Wilson, you know, was one of the quarterbacks they played well. Basically, they played against Russell Wilson. The best quarterbacks that they faced all year was Russell Wilson, Flacco, and Ben. And you know, anytime my fucking quarterback is listed as one of the best that they faced. Okay? So I was like, okay, well, damn. You know you upgraded. If everybody else got to be shitty if that's who we're
going. If that's the bar.
So
right.
They haven't played great teams, but you know, I mean, I think it's more about what they do offensively, and defensively they do get stops, obviously, but I just think that Atlanta has a lot of matchup issues, and right. Whoever number 26 is for the Patriots, he's a fucking bum. And I kept saying, I know somebody is watching this from the Falcons and was like, we're going to light his ass up in 2 weeks.
About that, real quick about that scoring defense reader, it's important. I don't mean to take it away from the Patriots, but at the same time, in the words of my workmate Mel, who probably got me muted right now since the Falcons go to the Super Bowl, if we're going to tell the story, we got to tell the whole story. Other than those three that you mentioned, they faced a lot of quarterbacks who turned the ball over, which allowed them to score.
Right.
We don't – this year, the Falcons, we don't turn the ball over much, if at all. So,
right.
You know, hey –
I'm with you.
Don't turn it over, not even one time.
Nope. So basically, you telling us that you put your money on the Falcons and you rising the fuck up. Is that what you're saying?
Can I say something real quick? But
real quick.
I don't mean to be the fun police. I don't mean to be the Debbie Downer. But I've been consistent on this ever since we came up with that damn slogan. I don't like that shit. That shit is lame as hell. That shit is like, it's like something that a fourth grader would come up with in a group activity or some shit. Like, never really been here for the slogan. I'll just say, go Falcons. I'm not rising up. I'm too damn old and I drink too much brown liquor. I'm not rising up. I'll rise up and fuck around and break my hip and then what I'm going to do. Like, I'll be in my chair rising up a bottle of wine, watching the Super Bowl.
No. You don't like it.
I've never been here for the slogan. I always thought that shit was lame.
You always thought it was whack.
Huh? I always thought it was whack. Always.
So, I mean, before we let you go, we gotta know, like, how was the city that night? Like, was the do you know if the strip clubs was lit? I mean, like, what happened?
Oh, everybody, all the strip clubs, like you would swear niggas got their tax returns early.
I was so jealous that I wasn't in Atlanta last weekend. You don't even know, because you know I lived in Atlanta. I went to Clark. So I lived down there, and I was in Atlanta during the Super Bowl that year. And let me tell you, I already know. I already know. And I lived on Peachtree Street. It was lit. We got some chairs and sat outside our building with some lawn chairs.
The city was lit. Now, my broke ass couldn't go out because the way these bills set up, I ain't have no money. But I have friends, not just on Twitter, but I got friends on Facebook that live in the city, friends in real life that, you know, was in the city after the game. And listen. The city was fucking lit. And people can talk about Atlanta, the city of Atlanta, you know. It doesn't have any culture and all that shit. I mean, whatever. But when Atlanta turns the fuck up, Atlanta turns the fuck up. Like, the whole city is fucking buzzing. It's beautiful black people everywhere. You know, even the white people. You know, even the ones who voted for Hillary. you know,
the only ones we recognize.
The only white people we recognize is the one that voted for Hillary. But the city is just beautiful. Like, downtown Atlanta, like, at night, is one of the most beautiful things I've ever witnessed in my years of living. Like, when the city is lit, the city is lit. And Atlanta, again, people can shit on it or whatever, you know, the fan base or whatever, which I get it because I got my own issues with a lot of our fan bases. But, like, to see everybody excited that Atlanta is good again. You know what I mean? Not even just going to the Super Bowl, but just good again. Just being optimistic about this team for the first time in a long time. Like, just seeing that, whether on social media, like if you were in the city, just seeing everybody just in Atlanta, just happy for an Atlanta team to do something. It was a beautiful feeling. And like I said, I'm all in. We are winning the motherfucking Super Bowl. And,
I hope y'all start coming to the games now. On time.
That's the one thing about niggas. Now, you know we ain't never on time shit. So, yeah, I don't know what that going to
do. Y'all be rolling up in that thing at the end of the first quarter. Look, when I see that.
Look, the reason is for that because you know niggas ain't never on time because it's like we used to see it like folks like T.I. or fucking Tyler Perry just on one of the a million peach trees in the city at a Waffle House someday and where we feel like, you know, we can just stroll up in there anytime we want. You know, we ain't never on time. Mm-mm.
So tell everybody about the podcast and when it comes on and how they can find you.
Yeah.
And be fast because New Edition girl come on and you cut into my time.
Look, we all gonna
watch that. I wasn't even gonna say no, that's what black people always gotta
say. Look, we all gonna watch that.
Cutting on my time.
Look, I sound like DeLonda. I sound like DeLonda. Yes. You cutting into my time. Wait till we bae hear this.
187, okay? Look. Look, and then it's gonna be good too because it's bad Bobby time, so you know it's gonna be drama.
Exactly. So hurry up.
But yes,
I'm already body rolling. Come on, Bobby.
Crown of Collars with my co-host Dan, aka Dan Chrism. We have been described as like listening to a catfish dinner. We try to be just here for the people, advocating for the people. We try to. Our slogan is be aware but laugh, stay woke but take naps in between. And just laugh. So you can find us CSPN.us. Click on the podcast tab for Crown of Collars. Rate us, listen to us, share us, love us, and tell your auntie. And we will see you at the Luther Vandross concert.
Hey, now,
wait a minute!
Come
wait
on
a minute! Luther is not here.
Look, he on vacation. Okay, we ain't gonna talk about that.
Well, we certainly appreciate you coming on here tonight, and you are an absolute fool.
Thank y'all for having me, and I love y'all, too. Now, we finna live tweet this Bobby, because I got jokes.
Yes, let's live tweet this
Bobby. I hope he is reckless and messy. But people who don't know what we're talking about, you'll hear it sometime tomorrow. We talk about the New Edition series that's on, and all of the black people in the United States are currently watching that, and it's coming on in 1 minute.
Yes.
So, Rita, you got any final thoughts?
No, nope.
I can see Rita over there fighting these dogs.
I just want them to leave me alone. I'm like, why do you wait till I'm doing the podcast to play with me?
You gotta pop them in the nose.
Every time if it looks like Rita is in a tornado of dogs over there. They just keep coming right at her face, and the more she's talking, then all I see is just dogs coming at her face. And it's only two, and it looks like it's 100 of them.
I swear. No final thoughts. I hope you guys do win. Fuck the Patriots. I'm sick of their asses. Please take me out of my misery. I appreciate you.
It's
please. All right, y'all. So y'all be good.
Till next time. Bye.
Jam, then let me shake my jelly. Jumping and thumping, man, I got the crowd yelling. Get it.